Amen. Good to be here this morning. And as we start this message, I'll start with a comment. Sometimes it's difficult to be a Christian. And I don't know if you have found that. I have found that. I'm not saying it's not enjoyable, but sometimes it's difficult to continue through trials and hardships that we may face in this world. Today we're going to talk about, persistence. Talk about continuing in the faith even when we are discouraged. I was reading this week several examples of people who continued through their difficult times. Now, these were not necessarily Christians, but I think you'll get the understanding of their persistence. Johnny Fulton was run over by a car at the age of 3. He suffered crushed hips, broken ribs, and a fractured skull, and compound fractures in his legs. Many did not believe he would live. He did not give up. In fact, he ran the half mile later in life in less than 2 minutes. Forget accomplishment. Walt Davis was totally paralyzed by polio when he was 9 years old. He did not give up. Became an Olympic high jump champion in 1952. Shelley Mann was paralyzed also by polio, but she would not give up either. Later in life, she claimed 8 different swimming records for the United States. In 1938, a man by the name of Carlo Tacox was a member of Hungary's world champion pistol shooting team. He accidentally blew off his hand in an accident, of course. Did not give up. He learned to shoot left-handed and went on to win an Olympic gold medal. Persistence. There was a young boy who never was picked for any team. As a matter of fact, many of the kids made fun of him because he was clumsy. His name was Lou Gehrig. Later went on to not only play and have a good career with the New York Yankees, but became a Hall of Fame baseball player. Also, one other man I'll give to you, could not read until he was 10 years old. Didn't quit, became the President of the United States. That was Woodrow Wilson. You see, these are examples of people who persisted and continued through their difficulties. Didn't give up. They didn't quit. You know, as believers, there will be times when it'll be tempting to stop. There are going to be times when it'll be even tempting to quit. I'm not saying that you're going to quit on God, but you're just going to get discouraged, perhaps get tired, and just wonder, is this worth it? Is it worth witnessing? Is it worth reading my Bible? Is it worth taking time to go to church? Is this worth it? You know, there are going to be times as Christians where we're going to be discouraged, and our faith will struggle, and that's when we need to look to Christ. This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and beginning in verse 1, he says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And then verse 2, he says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Dear Lord, we come to you at this time. Thank you for the blessings that you've given to us. And as we look at this portion of Scriptures, I pray that you will challenge our hearts this morning. Encourage us to remain faithful. If there's someone here that is unsure of their salvation, I pray today will be the day they get it settled with you. And I pray for those that are saved, today will be the day that we will just be reminded of how important it is to remain faithful. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to consider Christ this morning for a little bit. Now, this passage here, we know the first verse points back to the previous chapter. And Paul basically took that first verse and he said, hey, think about all these that came before. And as you live for God and you have faith in the Lord, remember that these people had faith even though they had limited knowledge. And they stuck out. During the difficult times. They remained faithful. They didn't quit, and God blessed them. But then he continues on in verse 2, and he says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." You know, there are going to be times in our life where we're going to need to look unto Jesus in order to continue. You know, it's good to be reminded of those that that went before us and to be challenged by all that they have done. But there are going to be times where that's just not going to do it. We need to look unto Jesus and find our strength in Him and be reminded of what He has done for us. I'm going to give you 4 considerations this morning. First, consider His salvation. And that's what it begins with. That's His work. Bible says there in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Salvation belongs to Jesus. No different than a book belongs to an author. You may be saved here this morning and you have salvation, but it's Jesus' salvation that you have received, that you have taken, that is now yours, and you have the benefits and the blessings of that salvation. You see, if someone would take a passage from a book, perhaps a student writing a paper, or maybe someone preparing a speech, if they take a passage from the book and they quote that passage, they're required to give credit to that author, to that book, to the title. If not, they're guilty of what we call plagiarism, claiming something that does not belong to them. This morning, salvation belongs to Jesus Christ. He's the author and the finisher of salvation. Why? Because He provided the work. Think about that for a minute. We didn't do anything to be saved. He did all the work. He came down from heaven and He lived a perfect life, a sinless life, overcame the temptations of sin and remained pure. He did that, not us. He provided the atonement. He went to the cross to die for our sins. He also provided the power. The Bible says that He arose 3 days later, came out of that grave victorious over sin and death. So you see, Jesus is the one that provided salvation, His work. He was victorious. And today, if you're saved, you're allowed to join. As the Bible says, you're now a partaker of His salvation. And in Romans, it talks about being an heir or joint heirs with Christ. You see, I guess you could say we're just along for the ride. God has blessed us. God has said, I'll provide everything. You just accept me and you can have this salvation. So we need to consider His salvation. He is the finisher of our faith. The Bible says that salvation is complete. Nothing else remains to be finished. The Bible says in Romans 6:10, it says, for in that He died unto sin once. And then we find in Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was offered, or once offered, to bear the sins of many. This morning, Jesus Christ finished salvation. You know, there's nothing else left to do. Jesus will never return to offer another sacrifice for sin. For those that are waiting or are looking for another sign, it's not going to happen. There will never be another sign. As it says in Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the last, I guess you say, the last prophet, the last one to speak to mankind from God the Father. He does not need to die, rise, and ascend into heaven again. You see, Jesus is not bound to a cycle of death and life. It's finished. He did it one time. By the way, how can you improve on perfection? If He had to come do it again, then there was something wrong. He either messed up or it didn't work. You see, He's perfect. And the work was perfect. And the atonement was acceptable. And so God the Father has accepted that sacrifice. And so there's no need for another one. Because it was efficient. You see, the sacrifices under the law. Before that time, the Israelites would take their sacrifices. And they would take them in hopes that God would be pleased. And they would find forgiveness. And God did accept that sacrifice. Not as a final atonement. But He accepted that sacrifice. And He would dwell with His people. But that was all a picture up until Jesus Christ provided the perfect sacrifice. You see, this morning, here's what I want you to consider when you consider Christ. Consider Him when your faith concerning salvation is hindered. You see, that's the first obstacle as a believer that we will probably face. Now, some of you have probably already faced this. You've dealt with it and you moved on. There may be some here this morning that are dealing with this right now. And that is doubts concerning your salvation. Hindrances to your faith. You're struggling. Am I really saved? Has Christ really taken care of things? I want you to consider Christ when you have doubts. If your faith was placed in Christ alone, the Bible says you're saved. Not because of your power, your strength, or your abilities. It all goes back to His work. You're putting your faith in His work. Make sure that you have trusted in Him from your heart. Now, if you just said something, or if you really didn't mean it, then that's different. But if you prayed, when you prayed to God, if you meant it from your heart, and you trusted in Christ, the Bible says you're saved. You see, it has nothing to do with our emotions. It has nothing to do with where we are. It has everything to do with our faith in Christ and His finished work. You see, His sacrifice was efficient. So I encourage you to consider Christ when you have doubts and you struggle with your salvation. You know, by the way, if the devil can cause us to doubt, he can probably cause us to do nothing as well. Because when we struggle with our salvation, we're not going to tell anybody else about salvation. We're not going to be interested in being a witness because we're going to be struggling with that ourselves. Best thing is to consider Christ. How about we consider Christ when we're discouraged because of past actions? I think we all would probably agree that if we were given a choice, there are probably some areas in our life, if we could go back and redo or fix, we'd probably say, yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that. And I'm not talking about your entire life. I'm just talking about some areas that you say, yeah, I shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have done that. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're discouraged because of a past action or a mistake of some kind, consider Christ and the fact that He has forgiven you of your sin. You see, He settled the matter before God. And if you have trusted in Him as your Savior, then your sins are forgiven and the matter is settled. And you'll no longer have to, I guess, say, account or be accountable for those sins because you have been forgiven by God the Father. So when your faith is hindered, I want to encourage you to consider Christ's work for your salvation. That's what we need to remember and think on when we struggle with our faith. Secondly, we go back to our passage. It says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. And it says, despising the shame. This morning, I want you to consider His suffering. This would be His love. First, we talked about His work on our behalf. Now let's talk about His love, His suffering. First, notice His endurance when He was attacked and when He was shamed. Jesus suffered greatly while He was on earth. I mean, just the painful death of the cross is enough to make us shirk, to make us say, wow, He did a lot for us. And so He suffered greatly while He was on earth, but He endured that suffering. I think He had it from the Scriptures. He had it within His power to end that. Bible tells us in Matthew 26, verse 53, when they went to the garden, they grabbed hold of Him. Here's what He told them. He says, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? At any time, God or Jesus could have really ended everything. I mean, He's God. Yet He chose to endure the suffering and to endure the shame. The Bible says that He went to the cross for our sins. So He endured for our sakes, for our benefit, not for Himself. He didn't need to do that to help Himself or to benefit Himself in any way. It was all done for us. So we could be saved, so we could be redeemed, so we could have a relationship with God, so we could have an eternal life set before us. And so He continued down that path and He endured the suffering and the shame. You know, the shame of the crucifixion is well known. Crucifixion was the penalty for the worst of criminals. And it was something that the people that were just despised were hung up on that cross and given this terrible punishment to die in front of all that would walk by. And Jesus endured that. He despised the shame, the Bible says. He despised it because He was above it. Yet out of His love for us, I guess this morning it's His love for you, He endured that. He remained on that cross. He gave up His life so we could be saved. He endured the reproach that came with hanging between two criminals. So this morning, consider Him when your faith is attacked. And it'll be attacked. It will be, I guarantee it. You live for God long enough and you're going to have your faith attacked. Now our faith can be attacked in many different ways. Sometimes it can be physically, like with Christ. I mean, there are times. Today, I thank the Lord in America, we're not having to deal with any physical persecutions. But there are some in our world today that are attacked for being Christians. And so there may be times when our physical life is attacked for who we because of our faith in Christ. We need to endure and continue like Jesus did, like the apostles did in the book of Acts. Also, we can be attacked verbally, or our faith can be attacked verbally in conversation with other people or through printed material. We can be attacked verbally. And sometimes that can be discouraging. And sometimes that can cause our faith to falter or to weaken because of what we hear or what we read. This morning, I want you to consider Christ and to be encouraged knowing that He suffered shame and reproach for us so that way we could be redeemed. You know, often in life, when we take our decisions or the direction we go, will often bring difficulties and hardships. You know, simply by trusting in Christ, you have come into the family of God, and we think of all the positives. We've come into the family of God, we're saved, have eternal life, and those are all true and those are all great. But you know, with that also, we've been pulled away from the world and separated. And there are going to be some who may not like that. And some who may want to discourage you and perhaps may want to bring you back into the world. Don't want you to see you live for God. And don't want to see you be faithful. And that's something that we have to endure. I'll give you an illustration that is along these lines. It's not exactly fitting, but it's along these lines. So, you know, you think of John Hancock. Most of the time today when we talk about John Hancock, we think of his signature. You know, we think that's the John Hancock is a signature. But that came to be because from several of the stories I've read, you know, you look at the Declaration of Independence, you see his signature. And some have written and said the reason why he wrote it so big and so large is because he wanted to declare to the King of England that he was opposed to what was going on. And he wanted to make it clear that he was for freedom and that he was separating from the king. Well, that's all, you know, neat and well said. I find it interesting that later, when King George III offered amnesty, this is during the war, he offered amnesty to all that would put down their weapons and cease fighting against England, except for a select few. And John Hancock was one of them. He was not offered that amnesty. You think about that. Just by aligning himself, putting his name on that paper, he put himself in a situation to be, I guess, say, attacked and to face these trials. You know, as a believer, simply trusting in Christ may bring some difficulties and some hardships. When this occurs, we must consider Christ's love for us. Remember why we are saved. Remember that Christ went to that cross and He suffered greatly for us. I was reading where one man said, however much we may suffer on earth, Christ has still suffered far more for our sakes. By far, He has suffered more than what we could ever even think of. Has anyone ever treated you in a kind manner? Maybe given you something? Or said something kind to you? And it was one of those situations where after they did that, you just stopped to think and inside you thought, well, you know, I wish I could pay him back. They didn't do it to have you pay him back, but inside you thought, you know, I'd like to return the favor. Maybe I'll get him something. Maybe I'll help them in some way. They just showed you so much kindness that you wanted to help them. That's how it is with Christ this morning. I believe if we would just stop and consider what He's done for us, without a doubt, we'd say, you know, I want to live for Him. I want to be faithful. I want to follow His commands. I want to do what He asked me to do. I want to allow Him to lead my life because look at what He's done. He has been so kind to us. And He suffered for our sakes and has given us life. And the least we could do is live for Him. You see, this morning, when your faith is attacked, don't quit just because you're facing some difficulties, but consider Christ's love for you and remain faithful through your trials and your hardships. Let's go back to our passage. We'll look at the third consideration. He says there in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. Now notice it says, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This morning, I want you to consider His seat at the right hand of God. That's where Jesus Christ is today. He's no longer in that grave. He's not on the cross. Today, the Bible teaches that He's in heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God. Now, that's the position of authority, of honor. He's at the right hand of God. And He ascended into heaven, I believe, to continue His work on our behalf. Turn with me, if you would, we're in the book of Hebrews. Let's just go back to Hebrews 4. And we'll look at a few verses. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, and today He performs the work of the high priest before God the Father. You see, Jesus did not eliminate the priesthood. When He came down to earth and He lived that perfect life, He didn't eliminate the priesthood. He didn't establish a new religion. He fulfilled the law is what He did. He lived according to the law, and he has taken the place of the high priest. Remember when he died on the cross, the Bible says the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. I believe when Jesus Christ offered the sacrifice, that literally the priesthood was finished, because he was now taking the place of the high priest. And today he's in heaven before God, and he acts as our mediator. So we can approach God the Father, and we can talk to him through Jesus Christ. That's why when we pray in the name of Jesus, because he's our mediator. And we can talk to God directly through him. And we can talk anytime we want to. You know, in the Old Testament, the Jewish people, couldn't go to God the Father just when they had a problem or they had a concern. They had to wait for the appropriate time. And they had to go through a priest. But see, because Jesus Christ has taken the position of the high priest this morning, you can go to God the Father right now in prayer. You can go to God the Father anytime you have a hardship or a difficulty. Anytime you need some encouragement, or you have a decision to make. Anytime, day or night, you can go to God the Father in prayer. As the Bible says, you can boldly enter the throne room of grace. You can just go right up to Him in prayer. Just talk to God in your life of prayer. All that is because of Jesus Christ. And because He's sitting today at the right hand of the Father. According to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, there it calls Jesus our advocate. Now that word for advocate means an intercessor. Basically it means a lawyer. Today Jesus Christ acts on our behalf. You see, an advocate is one that goes before an authority for the sake of another. You know, if you have to go to court, if you're not a lawyer, you probably get a lawyer to talk to the judge, to talk to the jury, to settle things for you, to get things set up. You see, Jesus Christ is our advocate. He goes to God the Father for us. He's our intercessor. And an advocate represents and speaks for an individual. So this morning, Jesus Christ represents you before God the Father. He speaks on your behalf to God the Father. And He represents you in a way that nobody else could. He's at the right hand of God this morning, representing all those that have put their faith in Him. Never forget that Jesus has been exalted and He's in heaven today. Nothing occurs between God the Father and mankind without Jesus Christ. Nothing. He's involved with everything. And so we should seek God the Father through Him when we go to Him in prayer. This morning, consider Him when your faith is weakened through trials. That's what I want you to consider this morning. Consider Jesus when your faith becomes weakened. Not attacked. We've just got done talking about faith being attacked. How about when your faith is weakened? Have you ever went outside and you worked, and at the end of the day you come walking back in and you're just ready to sit down? You're ready to sit down. Perhaps you're ready just to relax and to rest. And as you sit down and you take a break, it just feels so comforting. And you just get that rest and that energy you need. You see, Jesus Christ, I believe, being in heaven at the right hand of God, only helps us when we're weak, but gives us the strength that we need. You see, He sympathizes with believers because He cares for us. This morning, Jesus cares for you. He's concerned with your life. He's concerned with the details of your life. He's concerned with your welfare. He's concerned how things work out tomorrow for you. If you're going for a job interview, if you're just going to work, if you have plans, Jesus cares. He's concerned about your life. And He also understands your trials, because He Himself suffered greatly while He was on earth. You see, when our faith is weakened, when we get to the point where we are just weak in faith, we need to consider Christ and remember His great care for us. You see, He was betrayed and forsaken. He understands what it's like to struggle and to have the hardships of earth. And He was even tempted like we are. The Bible tells us in Matthew 4 that the devil took Him out. When He was out there in the wilderness, the devil went out there and met Him and tempted Him in a great way. But Jesus Christ remained perfect and pure. He overcame all the attacks the devil could launch at Him. He overcame them. And Jesus Christ understands what it's like to be tempted. And because of Jesus, we can seek God's help when our faith is weak. And we can go to God through prayer. So this morning, when your faith is weakened, and by the way, it can happen to any one of us, when your faith becomes weak because of difficulties or hardships, consider Christ's care and remain faithful to Him. Fourthly, this morning, let's go back to our text, Hebrews 12. Verse 3 says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Consider his strength. That's my fourth thought I'll give to you this morning. Consider his strength. His persistence. You want to talk about persistence? Let's just think about the life of Christ for a minute. Let's just think about this. I'm going to give you four thoughts here. Jesus was subject to tremendous trials. Tremendous trials. I'm going to give four of them to you. People opposed his plans constantly. You read through the Gospels. People tried to prevent him from doing his work. The devil tempted him. He was opposed really his entire time on earth. People opposed him and went against him. Secondly, people attacked his works. It's hard to think that our Lord and Savior would perform a miracle and people would find fault in that. But they did. You know, there are people in this world that will find fault in everything. I mean, you can give them, well, I'll probably give them several $100 this morning. They find fault. They say, well, you know, yeah, you got another $100? There are people that will find fault in everything. And we find in the Gospels that Christ performed these great miracles, and yet many still attacked his works and tried to discredit him or tried to harm him. Another thing that happened to him, people perverted his teachings. They took what he said and they twisted his words. Has that ever happened to you where you said something and someone purposely took it and twisted it? Either to their advantage for some way, to try to hurt you or try to gain an advantage on you. Maybe at work it's happened. That happened to Jesus constantly. You read through the Scriptures, people constantly perverted his teachings. And by the way, that still happens today. There are pastors this morning behind pulpits that are perverting his teachings, that are taking him and giving their own meanings and trying to push their personal agendas. So his teachings are still perverted. Also, people mocked his claims. You know, he made claims on earth, claims that were accurate, and people laughed at him, mocked him, jested him. Those are just four areas where our Lord and Savior really was treated in a terrible fashion. Yet he persisted. He didn't quit. You know, I thought about these four areas. I probably would have quit a long time ago. Someone constantly attacking my plans. Someone constantly taking my words and twisting them. Someone constantly attacking everything I do. Someone constantly laughing at my claims and my goals and my dreams. I imagine I'd have quit a long time ago. I'd have been done. I'd have been gone. And we probably all would have finished or just left. Jesus Christ persisted. He continued. Nothing caused him to change his course. Nothing caused him to take his eyes really off the reason why he was there, and that was to provide redemption. And he was steadfast, and he finished what he set out to do. This morning, I want you to consider Christ's persistence when your faith is ready to quit. When you're ready to throw in the towel and to be done. When you're ready to say, why even witness anymore? Nobody's listening. When you're ready to say, why even read my Bible? When you're ready to say, why should I continue to seek God in prayer? I don't see the answered prayers immediately. When you're ready to quit, I want you to consider Christ and His persistence and how He didn't quit when He was here on earth. He continued through all the difficulties and the trials. You know, for every believer, for everyone there that is saved, I think there looms the danger of discouragement. I really do. For every believer, there is the possibility of becoming discouraged. As the Bible says there, the warning that we're given at the end of verse 3, he says, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, he's not talking about the heart. He's talking about the mind. He's talking about discouragement. You see, for each one of us, there's that danger that we can become discouraged. And it happens when we become weary in God's work. That's usually when it comes in, when we become weary and tired of serving God. Tired, perhaps, maybe of the trials, the difficulties, the hardships, the struggles, the lack of what we say is fruit or results in our life. That's when we can become discouraged, when we become tired. I think of Elijah. He went and sat down by the brook and quit when he was discouraged. Or how about David? I mean, he left Israel when Saul pursued him. At one point, he left and fled to the land of the Philistines. Or how about all of the apostles? When Jesus was taken in the garden, man, the Bible says they fled in fear. They split. You looked around, the only one you'd see there was Jesus. The other apostles, they got out as quick as they could out of fear. You see, discouragement can set in quick And if we're not careful, it causes us to just quit or to flee. Notice it has, like I mentioned, it has nothing to do with the heart. Our salvation is secure because it goes back to what we already talked about. Jesus performed the work, not us. If we perform the work, then yes, we should consider our salvation. But because Jesus has performed the work, He went to the cross, died for our sins, arose from the grave, and we just trust in His finished work. Because of that, our salvation is settled. And it's secure here this morning. What happens is discouragement can set in the mind. We can become weary and we can faint. That's when temptation to quit becomes the strongest. That's why the devil attacked Jesus when He was out in the wilderness for 40 days. Because he knew when he was tired was the best opportunity to go at him. When this occurs, and if it's happening to anybody right now, you must consider Christ and follow His example. Persist. Continue on. Don't quit. Don't give up on things, but continue on by faith. Don't allow anything or anyone to hinder your life before God. You see, that's yours. No matter what happens around you, at work, in your neighborhood, no matter what happens around you, nobody can take your life from God from you. You make the decision if you're going to continue by faith. You make the decision if you're going to continue serving God and not quit. So I encourage you this morning, don't allow anyone to hinder that. Be faithful to God. Remain faithful and look to Christ for strength. In closing this morning, we looked at four areas, four considerations of Christ. And today, I want you to consider Christ when your faith falters. I hope nobody here is at the point where they're just ready to quit, but you never know. And if you're not, perhaps if something should change in the next few months or years, remember, consider Christ. Consider His salvation and His work that was done on your behalf. Consider His suffering. I tell you, that's His love. When we're ready to quit, remember how much He loved you, died for you, so that way you could have eternal life. Consider His seat in heaven today. He hasn't left you. He's not long gone. He's sitting in heaven overlooking things, going to God the Father on your behalf, ready to hear your prayers and your concerns and take them to God the Father. See, He's your mediator today. And so consider His seat in heaven. And finally, consider His strength. Consider His strength to persist when tried. And remember what it says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. This morning, if your faith is faltering or if it's weak, look to Christ and find His strength so you can continue. Dear Lord, I thank You for this day that You've given to us. Thank You for the blessings that You've provided. I thank You for this passage. And I pray today that as we have this time of invitation, I pray that You can just remind us once again of how good You are and how faithful You are to us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed for a few minutes. We're going to have a time of invitation. If God has worked in your heart here this morning, I encourage you to get things settled with Him.